message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
All right, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to take a couple of verses there, and then we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke and look at a few verses there. We'll start with Matthew 27. This is verse 45 and 46. It says, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Now, this is the sixth hour to the ninth hour, which would be noon to 3 p.m. "Why have you forsaken me?" And some translations will say abandoned. Have you ever felt abandoned? Go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, the first six verses. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen.'" Would you bow with me one more time? Father God, we thank you for your word, the truth of the scriptures. And God, I pray today that you enable me to communicate and preach and teach the way that you would have me to, that you would be glorified, and that our spirits, our hearts would be challenged, and that you would do in us what needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So these two passages, the first one in Matthew is all about Friday. Jesus was crucified on a Friday. The second passage is all about Sunday. A fellow by the name of S.M. Lockridge, he has passed on now, but he is credited with a sermon that's called, "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." How many of y'all have heard that? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Friday is a metaphor for betrayal, denial, suffering, hate, despair, defeat, and any other negative word that you can fit in there. And then Sunday was the symbol for victory and healing and help, hope, and eternal life. So on Friday, we've got some bad stuff, but Sunday's coming. There's going to be some good stuff. Over here, there's a crucifixion, but later there's going to be a resurrection. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You would enjoy it, not now, but look that up on the internet and give it a listen, because you can't preach it like the way this guy preaches it. But let me give you just a couple of excerpts from it. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying, but they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robed him in scarlet. They crowned him with thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. And he just goes on and on with Friday, but Sunday's coming, and it just builds like a pot of water that just begins to go to a boil, and by the end of it, everybody is screaming, "Sunday's coming." I want you to know Sunday's coming. So Friday, I want to pull out of that verse, the two verses I read, I want to pull out a couple of things. Remember, it said from 12 to 3 p.m., there was darkness all over the land. So I want to pull out that word darkness. Darkness is going to represent all the negative stuff that would happen on a Friday. The pain, sorrow, hopelessness, tears, hurt, depression, death. And it goes on and it goes on. From noon until 3, darkness had engulfed the land. It's the time of day when it ought to be brightest, but yet it is pitch black. It's a darkness. You know, there's dark, and then there's dark. That second dark is a darkness you can feel. Some of y'all have experienced that. You can go to I don't know if they're still around, the Natural Bridge Caverns. You'd go deep into there, and then they'd cut off the lights, and you can't see the hand in front of your face. It's a darkness that envelops you. You can feel it. And then, in addition to that word darkness, I want to point out that Jesus asked a question of his Father. And the question was this: why have you forsaken me? I find that encouraging, that Jesus would ask his Father. Who's closer to the Father than Jesus? No one. And yet Jesus, despite how close he was, asked the question of his Father, why have you forsaken me? I've heard it said, you should never ask why to God. You should never question God. Jesus did, at least that time. Sometimes we have questions. And so on the Fridays that we have, the Friday experiences that we go through in life, those times of darkness, there are also times that we have questions. Notice that God didn't answer him. We don't always get answers to our questions, do we? And then Sunday, if we look at the other passage in Luke, just want to point out one thing in that passage. On the first day of the week, this next phrase right here, very early in the morning. Sunday, victory, joy, celebration, resurrection, hope has come alive. Very early in the morning. So we went from darkness to light. The Bible says in another place that joy comes in the morning. There is something about light that is connected to joy and darkness that is connected to depression. I'm not saying that if you like to sit in the dark at times, you're bad. I'm just saying darkness and depression kind of link, but there is a joy connected to light, and joy comes in the morning. When the sun comes up, it's a new day, it's a new beginning, and there's a joy that comes with that. So we got Friday, we got Sunday. I want to talk about Saturday, the in-between day. Title of the message is Saturday. Friday was a day of pain and suffering. Sunday was a day of resurrection and victory. Saturday is the day in between. Saturday is the day that Jesus laid there lifeless. Now, some would say, no, Jesus was alive. He was just like the little video said. He's twiddling his thumbs and having a party and playing games, waiting for the right moment to come out. But yet Jesus said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. So the Bible supports the idea that Jesus laid there in the tomb lifeless on Saturday. For some, the larger part of the suffering has come and gone. You still hurt, but there's a numbness that sets in, and it leaves you kind of empty. See, whenever we go through Friday stuff on this globe, and listen, if you live here long, you're going to go through a lot of Fridays. In fact, just living here has a little bit of a feel of Saturday all the time. There's a little bit of darkness. See, darkness was on Friday from noon to 3, but when Jesus was laid in that tomb and it was sealed shut, that tomb is completely dark. The darkness continued all day Saturday. See, we call Thursday Holy Thursday. We call Friday Good Friday. And then Sunday we call Resurrection Sunday. I don't know what we call Saturday, but I'm going to call it Dark Saturday. Saturday is a dark day. Because Friday has happened, Jesus is lifeless. Jesus is no more. And everybody that was there at the Friday crucifixion are now in their own places. It's the Sabbath. But all they have is the memory of Friday. See, Saturday, the event is over, but the pain remains. The event was on Friday. You ask questions on Friday, and your Saturday's been so long that you've probably stopped asking questions by now. You didn't get answers, but the darkness remains. The pain remains. The sorrow remains. The depression remains. On Saturday, you just have the memory of Friday, and what you do on Saturday, you relive Friday. How many of you have had some Fridays that you have relived over and over and over? It just goes through your mind. It haunts you, and it just kind of consumes you. So in our mind, we relive Friday on Saturday. We go through these what ifs, if only this, if only that. On Friday, the day of the event, the day of the tragedy, people were with you. But now it's Saturday. They've gone back to their normal, and you're by yourself. Friday is all about the cross. Sunday is all about the resurrection. Saturday is all about the tomb. The tomb, it's a place of death. It's where Jesus laid without life. Saturday is the in-between season between your tragedy and between your deliverance, your victory. Saturday can be a long time. Some of you are in the middle of Saturday right now. If Sunday is the light at the end of a tunnel, Saturday is the tunnel. And the tunnel can be long. You lose your job, that's Friday. Later, you get a new job, that's Sunday. But Saturday is in between when you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Saturday is in between when you're skimping on things and when you're knocking on doors and you don't know how long it is before Sunday gets here. It'd be nice if Saturday was always just one day. You go through a divorce. That's Friday. And somewhere up the road, because we've got testimonies of this happening many times right here, somewhere up the road there's new love and there's new marriage and there's a new beginning for you. But back here on Friday, you don't know where that is. You don't even know if that's coming. You're not even sure if it will ever happen for you again. You blew it here. I'm done. It's over. And so you're in the middle of your Saturday, and all you can do is relive Friday. But there is a Sunday that's coming. We got to be faithful on Saturday. See, on Saturday, Friday is when darkness came, but on Saturday, we're still in darkness. And the added problem with darkness, besides the pain and all of that, the added problem is that in darkness, you can't see very well. You can't see clearly in the darkness. An American swimmer, she passed away in 1995, but her name is Florence Chadwick. She became the first woman to swim the English Channel, 21 miles. She swam it both directions on two different occasions. And she also attempted to swim from the Catalina Island to the coastline of California. This is about 26 miles. I like going to the pool. I don't mind going to the beach. But swimming 26 miles is not on my bucket list. Notice I said she attempted to swim from that island to the coastline of California, about 26 miles. She failed, and it was newsworthy. And so her failure was broadcast. She didn't fail because of the cold water, because of the muscle cramps. There are boats that go along her to fend off the sharks and other creatures like that, because this isn't a swimming pool. This is an ocean. And so she didn't fail because of the sharks. There was no school of jellyfish. She didn't fail because of the physical exhaustion of a 16-hour swim. Yeah. How many of y'all, that's like a 16-hour swim? That sounds good. Yeah, we're on the same page then. She failed, not because of any of those reasons. She failed because of fog. Fog had set in, and she couldn't see the coastline, and she had to quit. She went as far as she could, and then she climbed out of the water onto the boat. Once she was on the boat, she was informed that she was less than 1 mile from the shore. I guess I can't prove it, but I'm guessing that had she known that, she probably could have hung in there and made it. Had she known that, I'm sure she would have grabbed deeper and pulled out everything she had and persevered, but she didn't. She couldn't see the coastline because of the fog, and she bailed less than a mile from the shore. See, fog, like darkness, keeps us from seeing very clearly. And when you're in your tunnel, when you're in between Friday and Sunday, when you're in that place, that tomb, you don't see well. 2 months after her first attempt, Florence Chadwick made another attempt. And again, the fog rolled in. It was heavy. And again, she couldn't see the coastline. But this time, she finished her swim. And this is what she said. She said, when the fog rolled in, I kept a mental image of the shoreline in mind, and I focused on that. What she couldn't see with her eyes, she saw it up here in her mind. See, Saturday can be foggy. It's easy to lose your way on Saturday. You can lose perspective, and you can give up. I want to share with you three things you need on Saturday in order to make it to Sunday. The first one is simply this. We need horizontal help. See, we need strength on Saturday. We need strength. The first thing that we're going to need is horizontal help. We're going to gain some strength from horizontal help. What I'm talking about there is people around you. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about friends, people you know. We're going to need horizontal help. In John chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus is on the cross. Now, he made a number of statements from the cross. And this is one of them. He sees his mother. He's on the cross. He looks down. He sees his mother. And then when you read it in John, it says it this way. He looked over and saw the disciple that he loved. You know who that disciple that he loved is? John. You know who wrote that? John. I get a kick out of that. He didn't look over and see me, John. No, he looked over and saw his favorite. And then he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. And he pointed to John. And he said to John, here is your mother. Now, here's what I get out of that. Because I'm thinking that out of everybody that was close to Jesus, I'm thinking, besides his heavenly father, is his mother is close to him. And then second in line, I'm thinking it's John. There were 12, right? But then there were the three, Peter, James, and John. But then there was John, the disciple that Jesus loved. John was the one who sat by Jesus at the Last Supper and laid his head on his bosom. There was a special connection that Jesus had with John, and obviously Jesus and his mother. And so he looks at his mother and says, go with John. He looks at John and says, go with your mother. What we're talking about here is we need help on the horizontal level. And what I get from that right there is we need to lean on each other in the middle of Saturday. There's a tendency when you get in the tunnel to want to go it alone. There's a tendency to withdraw and pull out. You don't need to do that. You need some horizontal help. We need to be there for each other. We're on a journey here, and life has its ups and downs like a roller coaster. It's good, and then it's bad. I mean, this is a beautiful place, but this is a tragic place. It's tragic, some of the things that happen, some of the things that people go through, some of the things that you have to go through. Heaven's not that. So it's beautiful and it's good, but it can be tragic and hard. And during those hard times, during those Saturday seasons, during those tunnel moments, we need to lean on each other. We need to be there for each other. Because again, on the Fridays of life, people come to us. On the Saturday, people go back to their normal. You know, that's one of the weird things about funerals, isn't it? When you are at the graveside of someone that's close to you, you love dear, it could be a spouse, whoever it is, if you love them and your heart is broken, it seems like everything has stopped because for you, your world has come to a screeching halt. But then you watch others get in their car and drive off and they go back to work and they go back to their routine and there's something in you that just kind of cries out, that ain't right. We need to all stop for this. We all have those moments and life is going to go on. But we need to reach out because Friday people come to us, but on Saturday you may need to go to somebody. If you feel like you're all alone, you may need to reach out and say, hey, I need you. And I'm not trying to put all the burden on the person that's hurting. Church, we need to do a good job of not just showing up on Friday, but being there on Saturday. Friday, let's send some flowers to the service. Friday, let's get the church ready. Friday, let's preach, let's sing, let's love them, let's cry with them. That's Friday. What about Saturday? Saturday's tougher than Friday. We need to be there on Saturday. But also, if you find yourself by yourself, sometimes we look at you and we're surprised at how well you're doing. And the truth of the matter is you're not doing that well, but you're doing a pretty good job of covering it up. Good enough job that you fooled us. And we ask how you're doing. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Okay, good. They're making it. We might need to go a little deeper. Press a little further. We need horizontal help on Saturday. We need strength in our Saturday. We also need vertical help. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 43, this is while Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. And he prays, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Y'all remember that, right? In other words, Jesus is saying that Jesus knows he's about to go to the cross. Jesus knows why he's here. And it's coming down to that moment. And the humanity of Jesus is not embracing that moment very well. He's not wanting to do it. I hope that doesn't shock you. Jesus didn't want to do it in his humanity. That's why he said, Lord, is there a plan B? Can we do plan B? Right after he said that, Luke 22, verse 43 says this, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. That's awesome. After the angel appeared and strengthened him, Jesus prayed this, nevertheless, thy will be done. In other words, okay, there is no plan B. I have felt strength from above. I've gotten vertical help. I am now able to embrace your will completely for my life because of the strength that I have received. See, God wants to give you divine help while you're in your tunnel. Now, you're praying this, God, deliver me out of the tunnel. I pray that. I'm not faulting you. That's the natural prayer. Make my tunnel long. I don't pray that. Can I go through it again? It's not a ride at the Six Flags theme park. Let's do it again. No, I want out quick. Deliver me. But what if you're going to be in the tunnel a certain amount of time, then you need strength in the middle of the tunnel. Horizontal help, but also some vertical help, some divine assistance, supernatural help. An angel appeared to Jesus. Well, that was Jesus. God is still able to do the miraculous. He still does the supernatural. I've heard many stories of people in the midst of their pain and in a dark moment where God reached out and didn't necessarily pull them out of it, but he let them know, I'm right here with you. And it gave them strength to keep going forward in the tunnel. So we need our horizontal help. We need our vertical help. Until your Sunday morning arrives, God wants to give you strength. God wants you to know that he is with you in the tunnels of your life. So we need strength in our Saturday. We need horizontal help. We need vertical help. And the third thing I want to tell you is we need to keep our eyes on the coastline. Florence Chadwick, again, on her second attempt, she said, I kept a mental image of the coastline. And when the fog rolled in, I still saw the coastline. See, there is a coastline that we're headed for. There is a heavenly shore that we're going to reach. How many more miles is it out there? How many more days? How many more years? He's coming soon. I was watching the news. You hear what Joe Biden did? Jesus is coming. I'd be okay if he came today. I really would. I know what some of you are thinking. Wait, whoa, slow down. Slow down. We've got a pretty big dinner planned. The roast has been cooking all night. I smelled it this morning. Can he come after lunch? I don't want to go to heaven on an empty stomach. He probably has snacks. There's others, their younger, so, whoa, pastor, I wouldn't mind getting married. And then I hear it gets rough at about 2 years. Maybe you can come then. You know, we'll have the honeymoon, then Jesus comes, it's all good. Can I just tell you, when Jesus comes, you're going to be good. You're going to be good. If Jesus came back today, all your problems would be solved. But he may not come back for a while. In fact, you may live out your full life before Jesus comes. You may go to meet him before he comes to get you. So you may be in the tunnel for a while. But we are headed for a coastline. We are headed for a heavenly shoreline. And like Florence Chadwick, we need to keep a mental image of the coastline. While you're in the tunnel, you need to think about Sunday. You need to think about heaven. You need to look forward. You need to remember. We live by faith. And faith is living by not sight, but it's living by an unseen reality. We live with the unseen reality in mind. In other words, I don't see God, but God is a reality, and I live with the unseen reality in mind. I don't see heaven, but heaven is a reality, and I live with that unseen reality in mind. I can't see the coastline, but I've got a picture of it. And I keep that in mind. Faith is living with the unseen reality in mind. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. Some translations say we live by faith, not by sight. The key is, it's not by sight. Florence, on the second time, didn't have the sight. As believers and followers of Jesus, we don't need sight. We live by faith. So in darkness, I can't see. It's okay. Because you can still have faith. One translation says it this way: we live by believing and not by seeing. You've heard the old phrase, you got to see it to believe it. Well, maybe the opposite is true. You got to believe it to see it. We live by believing and not by seeing. So you got to hang on to your faith. The Bible says that we overcome by our faith. How do you overcome the tunnel? By your faith, not by what you see. But the unseen reality, you live with that in mind. Faith is a confidence that keeps believing that all pieces are going to somehow fit together, even when you don't have the big picture to work from. Like I told you last week, it's like that puzzle. You got nothing but pieces on the table. And you can look at them, and some of them make sense, and some of them don't make sense by themselves. But when you look at the box and you see the big picture, all of a sudden you can see where pieces begin to fit. And the more time goes on, the more you have an understanding of how the picture flows together. God sees the big picture. You don't. You get a piece at a time. Faith is having a confidence that the pieces will somehow fit together, even when you don't have the big picture to work from. Faith is believing that God has a purpose, even when there seems to be no reason. And can I just throw this little caveat in here? If somebody's in the middle of a tunnel, and you're not, and they're talking to you, and they've just had a tragic Friday in their life, don't throw this out there. Everything happens for a reason. You just drove them deeper into a tunnel. Faith is believing that God has a purpose even when there seems to be no reason. I ain't got time to go down the road, but the fact that everything happens for a reason, untrue. God can put reason into everything that happens, though. And we continue to live by faith. Faith understands that our best life isn't now. Our best life is yet to come. So keep swimming. Keep swimming. The coastline is getting closer. Keep swimming. You may have to stop and just float for a while. I remember learning that in swimming lessons many years ago. Hey, you're tired? Just do the dead man float. I don't know if I like the title. But you're supposed to rest and regain your strength and then swim some more. If you're in the middle of a tunnel, I just want to encourage you to keep going. Hang on to your faith. Get some horizontal help. Pray, hang on to God, and get some vertical help, and keep the coastline in your mind. I've said this many times here about the cross. Whenever we go through tunnels and we go through bad experiences in life and we question God's goodness, you know, at the beginning of the service, we said it, God is good, and most of you said amen. But I can guarantee you there's some in here that were like, if you say he's good, but if you knew what was going on with me right now, I'm questioning that. I understand that. Life will throw some things at you that will cause you to question God's goodness. You don't see everything. You don't have a full understanding. So I've said this many times. The cross and what Jesus did on the cross is proof enough that God is good. Whether nothing else happens good for you ever again, the cross says God is good because God rescued us and gave us eternal life. And when this thing down here is over in 85, 95 years, we've got eternity that's all good. No tunnels. So the cross is proof enough that God is good. And I'll add to it this morning, the empty tomb is proof enough that God is able. See, God can do anything. Yeah, but if he's good, then how come this? And if he can do anything, then how come he didn't do this? God is good, and God is able, and I don't have answers for your questions, but you need to know that God is able and God is good. The cross says he's good. The tomb says he's able. Came back from the dead. There's nothing he can't do. Don't quit on Saturday. You know, you can't quit on Friday. You just got to go through the event and the day. But it's Saturday when we begin to relive Friday and we begin to ask the questions. Remember, the darkness and the questions that we begin to consider throwing in the towel. Don't quit on Saturday. There is a Sunday that's coming. I want to share with you just a few verses, and then we've got a song for you this morning. Psalm 34, verse 18 says this, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." If you're in the tunnel, you're in a place of darkness, you're the brokenhearted. This verse says that the Lord is near you. You may not sense that at times, but I want you to know that God is with you in the tunnel. He is near those that are brokenhearted. And when you look that word up, broken, it doesn't mean broken a little bit. It means broken in pieces. It means shattered. I dropped a coffee mug once, just a short drop to the counter, and it broke. The handle fell off the mug. It was broken. That's not what we're talking about here. The coffee mug is shattered and pieces are everywhere. That's the broken heart that we're talking about. And the Lord is near that person right there, the person who is crushed in spirit. Psalm 147:3 says, not only is he near the brokenhearted, the Bible says in Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then one more, Isaiah chapter 61, first few verses. These are prophetic words. Jesus quotes them later in Luke's gospel. The Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and get this next phrase, and to release from darkness the prisoners. Darkness can hold you prisoner. Jesus came to set us free and to release us from darkness. It doesn't mean you'll get out of your tunnel immediately, but it means that you can have victory and peace and some semblance of joy in the middle of hard times, in the middle of your tunnel. In your loneliness, you can learn that God is there. In your weakness, you can learn that God is your strength. It's okay not to be strong. You don't have to be strong for everybody. It's okay to need somebody to lean on. We need horizontal help. We need vertical help. And we need to stay faithful, keep our eyes on the coastline, and know that God has a Sunday for us. Amen.
The atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, it's burning like a flame, and healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, fill the sky. Chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Speak the name above all other names. Speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of heaven coming down, fill the earth with the sound of the name of Jesus. Gather all who wander, hearts that Jesus shed. The mention of the name, our darkness is fleeing, mercy raining down, healing waters flowing as our lips make the sound. Oh, raise it up, fill the sky. Oh, chains will fall, mountains move.
Close this service with prayer for those that find themselves stuck in Saturday. Listen, we all have Saturdays. We all have tunnels that we're going to go through. The problem is when we bog down in the tunnel, we break down, and we end up staying there longer than we should. As they were singing, that many lines, what a great song, but strongholds will be broken. When we get in the tunnel and we get our eyes off of him and off of the coastline and we just withdraw and all of a sudden we find ourselves, you know, drifting away further and further from God, pretty soon we begin to identify with the thing that took place on Friday and we lose our identity and who we are in him. We take on the victim mentality and we get bogged down in the tunnel. And I'm not throwing stones. It's easy to do. But I want us to pray for strongholds to be broken this morning. I want us to pray for deliverance. I want us to pray for a joy, a light to come in the morning. I want to come against darkness. I want to pray for strength in the tunnel. So with your eyes closed, how many of you could just raise your hand and say, Pastor, you're talking to me. You're praying for me this morning. You don't have to give me the details of what's going on in your dark moments on your Saturday, but how many could raise your hand and say, pray for me this morning? Anybody else? Just hold them up. Just hold them up. Yeah. Why don't you take that same hand, place it over your heart? Let me pray for you this morning. For those of you watching, if this is you, place your hand over your heart. I want to pray for you as well. And there's an email address that will pop up on the screen sooner or later that you can reach us. And we would love to pray for you by name. So you can send us that and we'd get in touch with you. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come against darkness. We pray for strongholds to be broken in Jesus' name. Listen, sometimes we get in the tunnel and we turn to other things. We get addicted to things, drugs and alcohol, and it keeps us in the tunnel and it takes us deeper. I come against those bondages, those addictions in Jesus' name. Father, would you set the captive free in Jesus' name? Would you release from darkness the prisoners in Jesus' name? Would you bind up the brokenhearted in Jesus' name? Some of you have been hurting for a long, long time. And I'm not just talking about grief. There is just grief that accompanies us on this planet. We say goodbye to people. And there's a normal time that happens as people get older in age, but then sometimes it happens early and it just knocks us off of our feet. And some of you have been hurting for a long, long time. And I'm not saying that when I pray this prayer, you'll never hurt again. But there is a level of pain that is intolerable. And we don't want to live there. We want to go through the grieving process and get our victory and our help and our hope back in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray that you bind up the brokenhearted, those that have been shattered, broken in pieces. Lord, this COVID thing, coming out of it somewhat, but still there, Lord, many have lost loved ones unexpectedly because of this unexpected virus that just attacked our globe. They have been shattered. God, I lift them up to you for your healing touch. God, I pray that hope would begin to flicker. Healing would begin to happen. For those of you that we're praying for, horizontal help, if we can help you, we will. You know, sometimes counseling is a needed thing. We can connect you with people that can help you, that are trained and have been maybe where you are to some extent. We also need vertical help. You need to keep crying out to Him. They just sang about the name of Jesus in the tunnel. It tends to get quiet. We need to speak the name of Jesus on Saturday. We need to speak the name of Jesus on Saturday. There's a hope on Sunday that we need to pull into our Saturday. Father, I pray for those that are hurting and struggling. This comes to mind as well. There may be some here, or maybe watching, but you've been hurting so bad that this is your first time back in church in a long, long time. Not just because of COVID. You quit going to church way before that because something worse than a virus came your way. COVID wasn't that big a deal compared to what you went through. And you quit on Saturday a long time ago. And today, something stirs inside of you to get back up, to keep going. I want you to know if that is you, that is God's voice encouraging you, stirring in your spirit. You know, there's something else about that tomb. We talked about the darkness, but there's something else. There's a quietness there, not a sound. And if you'll stop and slow down in those dark, quiet moments and listen extra carefully, I believe you'll hear God speaking to you. Sometimes we're more sensitive to Him in those moments. Listen for His voice. Understand, your best life is not going to be here. Your best life is later. Father God, I pray for everyone that is living in Saturday. God, I pray for hope and healing. I pray for strength. And I pray it in Jesus' name. With your eyes still closed, if you're here today or you're watching and you have never ever said yes to Jesus, or maybe you did as a child and it's just been so long and you feel like you need to do that again, I want to take you back to not just the cross but the three crosses, because if you'll remember, when Jesus was crucified, there was a thief on each side of Him. One thief was insulting Him just as the crowd was, but the other thief said this. He said, he's done nothing wrong. We're here paying for our sins, but this man is innocent. And then he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, would you remember me? See, when I see the three crosses, I think of choice. We can make a decision. We can choose like the one thief, and ridicule and mock or ignore, or we can choose like the other thief and say, Lord, would you remember me? I find it interesting that they're both thieves. They're both guilty. And I want you to know, no matter how good you are on your best day, we're all guilty. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we all need a Savior. But we have the choice to be like the one thief or the other. If you're here today while your eyes are closed, I want to pray for you, if it's in your heart, to cry out to the Lord, remember me, Jesus. You want to give your life to the Lord Jesus or rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus? Can I see your hand? I want to pray for you. Good. Good. Awesome. I want you to know that it's in your heart. It's already happened. God forgives you. And God says, yes, I receive you. But as I pray this prayer, why don't you in your own way, in your heart, or maybe softly with your lips, just agree with me. Father God, I give you my life today. I surrender myself to you. I confess my sins. I fall short of your glory. I'm not good enough. I understand that. But I also understand that Jesus died on the cross so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have eternal life. And I call out to you to remember me. I call out to you to save me. In Jesus' name. The church says amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.